Good morning, Ross.
Good morning, Caitlin. Ah, the theme.
Yes, I remembered it this week. It's one of my weaknesses. This is a very special episode, Ross, because we're joined by a special guest, a man who's been in many bands over the past few decades, who's getting one of them back together to play in their original lineup for the first time in quite a lot, sort of, what we're going to talk about, right? The man is Greg Deer, the band The Holy Rollers. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for coming in for our very first special guest for The Land That Time Forgot. Welcome.
Thank you.
So you've picked me up on lineups.
Yeah.
And that is one thing that seems to always be a common theme with these bands that we look up, lineup changes.
Yep.
Okay.
Let's get it happening.
Okay.
The band's the Holy Rollers, but they didn't actually start off under that name. They started off as the Bex Crystals.
No. Holy Rollers started as Holy Rollers.
What was the Bex Crystals thing? Was that?
Not sure.
Okay. Oh my God, my information's wrong.
No, this is good. This is why a special guest is good. Okay, so Greg, when you started the Holy Rollers, they were called the Holy Rollers. And
yes,
they were
that's
your
correct.
Thing. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. The first lineup came together. I've got it starting in July of 1984, and it was yourself on vocals and guitar.
Yep.
Craig Chisholm, no relation, on guitar. Tony Watson on bass and James Hurst on drums.
That's correct.
Now, what happened is that Craig had been actually around for a while. He'd played in the Inept Dilettantes, which ran into problems because people couldn't actually pronounce it, so they became the IDs, which became the 3Ds. And then he and James Hurst were in a instrumental trio called the Ellen James Singers.
That's correct, yep.
good. And the Brains Trust approves. So.
And that's where you and the rest of them sort of came together. What was the initial idea of you all coming together?
Well, I just had this idea of putting a band together to play for a short period of time, a series of gigs that was completely 10 Lou Reed songs, 10 Leonard Cohen songs, and we would do them all as a sort of reinterpretation. So, but they all sounded pretty much like it was Lou Reed doing Leonard Cohen.
And then when did your own songs come into it?
Well, gradually. I mean, we just sort of built up an audience, enjoyed gigging, and I was wanting to put a band together to play my own stuff, and we just started introducing it into Holy Rollers. We played a... Actually, we played our first gig in April 84. That was a triplet support.
April 84. Mate, get a pen out.
Yeah, I've got it.
Get a pen out,
pen's
Ross.
Out.
Make a change.
April 84. Gotcha.
And the only reason I know that is because I came across something recently that had that date on it. But, yeah, our opening gig was a triplet gig, and our opening song was the Leonard Cohen song, Joan of Arc, and we did it as a sort of... how we thought it would have sounded if the Velvet Underground played it. And many, many years later, and it's the only cover that I know of that Leonard Cohen did, that Lou Reed did, and he did that song.
Wow. Really?
Okay.
There you go.
So there you go.
You're just on the same wavelength.
Well, hopefully. But.
Okay, the first lineup, digging mostly covers, gigging at the Shenton Park, the Shaftesbury, the Whiz Bar, the Captain Sterling. But James Hurst was also in Chad's Tree at that point in time, so yep. That was causing some issues.
It was fine, but they relocated over east, and that was a bit difficult for him to play in.
Really? Sydney to Perth just for one-off gigs?
Yeah.
So then James and Tony left, and Craig moved to bass, and you got your sister Flick in on drums.
Yep.
And that happened in February of 85, I believe.
Could have been early 85. No, actually. We did one gig that had Flick playing some songs that we'd been working on, and also James, and that was at the Fringe Festival.
Ah.
I can't remember, it was the end of 84, December 84 or early 85.
Was that at the Maltings?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
What was the Fringe Festival like back then?
That was its first or second year.
Yeah,
could have been the first year. It was very, very small, and you know, whereas these days it rivals the Perth Festival.
It's enormous. Yeah, it's a machine.
But yeah, it was a fairly small event back then, and very out of the mainstream. So yeah, but we had a booking at the Maltings, and then we discovered that we were meant to provide, you know, three sets, sort of fill in, you know, a set, a break, a set, a break, and then an hour's set at the end. And we had an hour's worth of good stuff, so we did a bit of solo stuff, a bit of jamming, and brought Flick in, and et cetera. That was the last gig that James played with us.
Yep.
And the first one that Flick played.
So we've got up to early 85 here, increasing originals actually in the set list. Mm-hmm. And then in June of 85, Kim Williams came in on bass and occasional backing vocals, I think,
yep.
With Craig actually moving back to guitar.
Yep.
And that was the lineup that a lot more people would remember because they did a lot more gigs, gigging in a lot more venues as well. And I remember a long residency at the Victoria Hotel in Subiaco.
Yeah.
Which when you used to do several sets then, because you used to do an all-nighter, you didn't have support bands. And that was also the time when the first single came out.
Yep.
And I think we're going to take the B-side of the first single.
The B-side of the first single.
Yes.
All right.
I know this is one of Craig Chisholm's favourite and one of mine as well, because it's got that grunt to it. And this is a piece called Lifestyle.
Thank you for being here to both of you. Now, okay, so we've released our first single.
Yep.
And where do we go from here, Ross?
Well, then, because the songs were coming fairly regularly at that point in time, then they recorded their first album. In fact, their only album, but I will get to that. And the single came out in 1985. The album came out in 1986. Mm-hmm. And then it sort of all got a bit hazy towards the end of the Holy Rollers, with sort of the band, because I know you did a John Cale support as well at the Old Melbourne, which
we did a couple with John Cale, I think. Yeah.
And then I think Kim sort of had the Summer Suns as a sort of semi side project at that stage. Mm-hmm. And then towards the end of 1986, the band sort of knocked it on the head.
Yep.
But in the meantime, you'd actually already done some demos, solo demos, for what you were proposing as their second album.
Yeah, that's correct.
Which came out as a cassette as well, and I'll be coming to that in just a sec.
Okay. And there was an earlier cassette too.
Yes.
All right.
I knew about that one.
What's it like having your history, you know, these days that were, you know, 20 years ago or so?
Oh, 30.
Yeah.
30 years ago, yeah. You know, remembered by Ross here,
well,
you know,
Ross
recited
was always,
back to you.
Yeah, Ross was always very good at documenting things at the time, and I wasn't. So he's got much better overview of that part of my life than I have, I'm afraid.
That must be an interesting experience, having this, you know,
forensic examination.
Yes, oh well.
No, it's great. Okay, so where are we at? We're at the album.
The band had sort of come to an end. They'd had the album out, and Kim went off to keep on going with the Summer Suns. Craig and Flick briefly were involved in Ill Wind, who I think only managed one gig, but whatever. And then they went on to Charlotte's Web. And Greg actually had a short-lived band called Midnight Choir.
Yeah, we did two gigs.
Yes. And then you got the beautiful Losers happening.
Yep.
Went through multiple lineups, and maybe for another program, that one.
Mm.
And then in the early 90s, you sort of left the music scene for quite some time. And I think most of the rest of them did, apart from Kim as well.
Yeah, I was still going to gigs and that, and sort of helping out young bands in the studio for a while, and worked with a little hip-hop outfit for a while in the early 90s. And, but, yeah, I was sort of a bit jaded, and then children came along and things like that. And
yeah, absolutely.
And then the Holy Rollers got back together, I think, which was the three-piece lineup for the Red Parrot reunion. What did it feel like getting back together?
It was good, actually. We at my 50th, so that was 5 years ago, we sort of just did an impromptu thing with had the painkillers there and, you know, a few other things happening. And, yeah, we just did a bit of an impromptu thing there and thought that was the end of that. But the Red Parrot thing was, it was interesting, actually, because it was, we really had no idea how it would go after all that time. But we sort of, you know, I don't know, fell into place. We were quite careful in our song selections. Only had to do two songs. So
was that it?
Yeah,
two songs.
It had six bands, I think, six or seven. And, yeah, they did two songs each.
Yeah, right.
Or maybe, I think the Waltons did three because they were little sort
short
of
songs.
One
short
and a half
sweet.
Minute ditties. Yeah.
What was it like getting back on stage? Because I know you told me that Flick hadn't, well, she continued playing drums, but she hadn't quite done the work the drummers need to do to get fit to play on a sort of semi-regular basis.
Yeah, but I mean, she was fine for two songs. That was...
And it's going to be longer than two songs next Saturday.
That's right. We're doing a half-hour set.
Yeah. So what's it like? So this lineup that you're getting together for Saturday for State of the Art, what lineup is that?
Well, it's essentially, with one exception, and I'll get to that, the lineup that did all the recordings, like the vinyl releases.
Oh, you've got Kim back.
Like that.
Yep.
No.
Oh.
Kim's not available, so we've got Cliff Kent, who's the bass player with Beautiful Losers, sitting in.
Okay. So Cliff, Flick,
Craig.
And Craig.
All right.
Craig and I were the two members who were in every single lineup.
Okay. All right. Nice.
With the record, now I'll go back to the cassette that you did of those record, the demos that you were intending for the second album. Now that the band's back, do you think there's sort of some unfinished business? So it's like, I did acoustic demos or semi-acoustic demos. There might be another album in here somewhere.
A few of those songs did actually make it onto the Holy Rollers album.
Yep.
Couple of others made their way into Beautiful Losers, and the others I think are probably just best left in the dusts of history, I think.
Yeah, right.
Is this going to be another one-off, or are you looking, because you've got the Beautiful Losers up and happening and they seem to be the more regular band, are you looking to just do one-offs for the Holy Rollers or something a bit more permanent with them?
Look, when I sort of first asked everyone else if they'd be available to do this when we were asked to play at SOTA, there was ambivalence a little bit and a sort of, oh, God, oh, do people really want to hear us and those sorts of mumblings. Yeah. But we've had two rehearsals and I think we're probably better off, like, you either have two rehearsals or about 30 rehearsals for something like this. So the first one we thought, oh, God, what have we done? And the second one, it all came together nicely. So we thought, okay, we're not going to completely make fools of ourselves. This is, and it's actually much more relaxed than just fun. But I very much doubt that there will ever be a sort of...
ongoing.
A Holy Rollers thing. Again, so this is a one-off just for the State of the Art Festival.
And what time are you playing and which stage are you playing?
We're playing on the Orchard stage and I think we're 6:40. On around 6:30 or something.
You're 6:40. 6:40 until 10 past 7, half an hour.
Yep.
To get all those songs in. More than two songs.
More than two songs.
And we very much look forward to it. Ross, any last words?
No, it's been nice to see Greg back on the scene, going to lots and lots of gigs, and it's like he just pops up. I'm at a gig somewhere, and he pops up, and it's, hi. Oh, my God, it's you again. I think we'll actually finish with Promise, which was
excellent.
From their album. You've got the...
Something very different to Lifestyle.
Oh, I'd say so. You've got this compilation called Cherry Pickings. It's under your name rather than the Holy Rollers. It's got a combination of Holy Rollers, Beautiful Losers, solo recordings going back to the late 70s, and that was very interesting to listen to, and all the early 80s material as well, and early 90s material. Where can people pick this particular CD up?
Once my website is up and running, it'll be available from there. But for now, we're just selling it at gigs. So any Beautiful Losers gig. Actually, it'll be at the merch desk at SOTA.
So. Yeah, good stuff. Thank you so much, Greg, for coming in this morning.
It was great.
It's great to have a guest on The Land That Time Forgot. And thank you again, Ross, for bringing in your notes and bringing in a pen to make some adjustments.
Yes, I thought I had it all, but you never know it all because history changes, sadly
Absolutely.
Enough.
Especially if I'm the person trying to remember it.
Thank you so much, both of you. Greg Dear, you will find him on stage Saturday night at 6:40 on the Urban Orchard stage at the State of the Art Festival. And we will catch Ross again next week, dwelling in the land that time forgot. We're going to go out with the Holy Rollers and a tune called Promise.